starting off point. So would you turn to Job chapter 1? I'm going to read some of the verses that I read this morning. And then also some additional ones from chapter 3. Job chapter 1, verses 14, 15, and on down there. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And it continues. Verse 18, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly." Go over to chapter 3 and verse 1. "After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, 'Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived.'" In verse 11, "Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly?" Father, we just pray tonight that we would have your mind, Lord, concerning suffering and the changes that take place in our life. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to realize tonight that we can be ourselves in your presence. Lord, that we can offer up to you our questions, our concerns, and know that you are there, knowing that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and knowing that there is a bigger picture that we might not understand now, but someday we will. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. I don't really like change much. I don't think most people do. Some changes that come into our life are for the better. Some changes that come into our life, we think at least, are for the worse. You probably have already experienced some life-changing events. Every one of us will experience life-changing events at some point in time. Job is a classic example. Things changed for him in a day's time. Things change sometimes so suddenly. One minute, things are going fine. The next minute, we find that things have just turned around. And remaining faithful during times of change, especially difficult times, can be a hard process. Change is difficult, I think, because of the unknown. You know, if we all experience some changes this coming year, one of the things, hopefully, we will be in the new building. But even though we're going to be going there, there's some changes that will take place, some apprehension, and some difficulties are going to come up along the way. And so change is difficult because of the unknown. Change is difficult because people are conditioned for a certain pattern of life. We like the way things are. We like the status quo. We don't want things to change. We want them to remain as they are. But change doesn't always mean that something is wrong. Change means that God has something better in store for us. Or he may be reminding us or teaching us that we need to trust in his wisdom. And that is such a difficult thing when we cannot understand the future, when we can't see past the present, and we can't see things after the change has taken place. It's difficult to trust God, but we must trust in his wisdom. When change occurs, you cannot act as if nothing has happened. So many times people just try to ignore the change. They try to ignore what is happening as if nothing has taken place. But you cannot ignore change. If you try to hide your feelings or suppress your emotions, it only makes things worse. And so the book of Job teaches us that those who truly know the Lord will trust him in difficult times. And it's during those times that we learn to cast our care upon him because he cares for us. There is nothing fictional about Job. He was a real person. He really lived. There is nothing fictional about the book of Job. It's true. The story happened exactly as the Lord recorded it for us. So what is written actually happened. Now, Dr. Warren Wiersbe says that the major question about the book of Job is not, why do the righteous suffer, but rather, how do the righteous suffer? And that's what I want you to think about as we go through this, because the question most of us ask is, why? And there's nothing wrong with asking that question, but we need to ask the other question as well, how do I go through this process? How is it that I can go through this suffering and still please the Lord as Job did? It seemed that everyone in Job's life had an opinion of why such tragedies came and why there was such tragic changes. And you know, I've discovered that as well. Have you noticed that? When you're going through a difficult time, everybody has the answer. In fact, I had a difficult time this week in a certain issue, and I just called up to talk to somebody and wound up getting a lot of counsel that I didn't really want. Thought I didn't need, but when you have something, everybody seems to know why it's happening, or this is how you do this, and this is how you respond to that, and you're sitting there, you think, you know, that's easy for them to say, and it is. And so I want you to realize that the only thing that matters is what God says. And sometimes we have to let what people say go in one ear and out the other. Only God knows the purpose of why he allowed these devastating events to take place in Job's life. But first of all, there is a demonstration of change. Life had been good. I mean, life had been real good for Job. And things had been good for a long time. God had blessed him, and he had become well known for his riches and his success. Anyone who knew Job would have wanted to be just like him. I think that if we were there, we would look at Job very favorably. Say, yeah, I wouldn't mind being like Job. Look at what he has. Look at his possessions. Look at his children. Look at his righteousness. There's a lot of things in Job that people would have admired and would have liked to have traded places with him. He was successful. But then came the day of change. Unexpected and without warning. I mean, it would have been one thing if Job could have prepared himself for these things. It'd be nice if we could prepare ourselves for things that are going to happen in our life that will bring difficulty and tragedy. But Job had no warning. And messenger after messenger came. And it got worse and worse and worse. And finally he finds out that even his children had died. No advance notice. No feelings or impulses that something was about to happen. Nor life was just normal and routine. And there came a messenger unto Job. What happens in this text seems absurd, meaningless, and even apparently undeserved. Certainly there were wicked individuals in Job's lifetime who we could say perhaps deserved some of these calamities and tragedies. Maybe they had done something against God to deserve to lose their flocks, family, and fortune. But why Job? God said Job was a righteous man, one who hated evil, and held on to that which was good. God said great things about Job to Satan himself. He said he's a perfect and upright man. He loves me. So what's going on here? That's a good question. And the answer to that question is simply that there are things that are taking place in Job's life that is literally out of this world. There was a confrontation and an exchange that was taking place in heaven between God and Satan. And there were things that were going to be done in Job's life through this that only God knew and only God understood. And you know, we have to realize that what happens in this world alone can never provide all of the answers to life's changes. We will never understand, we will never know all of the answers as to why until someday we stand before God and he's able to show us. Job chapter 1, verses 14 through 15 records the loss of fortune. His financial status changed drastically in just a few moments. All of his prosperity is gone in one afternoon. His financial loss was caused by the Sabians and the Chaldeans, who were probably caravan traders from Arabia. Obviously, they were not committed to making fair and honest trades. They just took what they wanted. And they were used by Satan to inflict financial loss and ruin on Job. At this point in the story, it's important to know that there are things going on between Satan and God involving the character and the commitment of Job. I think that if Job could have listened into the heavenlies and heard the conversation between God and Satan, there would have been room for doubt or concern in relation to the changes that were taking place in his life, but he had no idea that that exchange was taking place. He had no idea that God was saying, "Have you considered my righteous servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth." He didn't know everything that was taking place in the presence of God. But if he had known, we wouldn't have the great example of faith and patience that we have today. This is a life of faith Job is living. And as the student of Scripture carefully studies the book of Job and Job's life, we will become keenly aware that God knows Job better than Job knows himself. And I would dare to say that's true of every single one of us here tonight. God knows you better than you know yourself. We think we know ourselves. But have you ever surprised yourself at the way you acted or reacted to a situation? I did that. I couldn't have done that. See, God knows us better than we know ourselves. But I also believe that God speaks very highly of us. And God says, "If you considered my servant, you put your name in there." He delights in the servant from the land of Uz. And he's not hesitant to point out to Satan his faithfulness and integrity. But Satan is not impressed. And he insinuates to God that the only reason Job is serving the Lord is because of the financial blessings God had given him. He said, "The only reason Job serves you is because you have blessed him. Now you take away your blessing, you remove your hand of blessing, you take away his finances from you, and I think that Job would curse you to his face." God said, "No, not my servant Job." Satan says, "Well, let's try it out then. What are you afraid of?" I think God could have told Satan he didn't have to prove anything to anybody and been justified in doing so. God could have blessed Job even more. But on this occasion, God chose to publicly allow Satan to touch all that he had in order to glorify himself and demonstrate the reality of faith. Then in Job 1, verses 18 and 19, we read of the loss of his family. These things, have you ever noticed that when the enemy comes, he comes in like a flood? Isn't that what the Bible says too? I mean, it's just one thing after another. When the enemy comes in like a flood, though, the promise from the Lord is what?
The Spirit of the Lord will set up a standard against
him. That's right. The Lord will set up a standard against him. But Job here, he has one servant come in one thing, and before he can catch his breath, another messenger comes with more bad news, and the third messenger comes and brings the word of the death of his children, 7 precious boys and 3 precious girls. What could be more valuable to Job than his children? The text indicates that Job would have done anything to protect his children, both physically and spiritually. You know, I don't know what went through his mind. You know, maybe he thought at first this was coincidence. But now with this tragic news, he must have asked himself, what is going on? Job demonstrates for us what change in life is all about. What if you and I were to lose our possessions? What if our house burned down? What if our bank account was suddenly zero? What if all of our financial investments were gone? What if our health was gone? What if one of our children died? You know, those are questions we don't like to think about. But Job didn't have a choice. He had to answer these questions, and he answered them faithfully. Job responded to all these devastating changes by worshiping God and maintaining a good attitude. The Lord gave, the Lord take away, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, when the Lord gives, it's easy to say, the Lord gives. When he takes away, you might even say, the Lord takes away. But it's difficult to say, to bless his name with the loss of things. Few can say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Unless God helps us, none of us could say those words. But Job said them, and he refused to accuse God of injustice. He refused to charge God foolishly. When he lost everything of value he had, he still maintained the value of God. And then next, in chapter 3, we see a depression that came upon Job from this change. Chapter 3 and verse 1 begins with those words, after this. And if you know what happened in chapter 2, he had a visit by 3 so-called friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. I call them so-called friends because their visit was not an encouraging visit. And all the events that led to this point in Job's life were rehearsed. And if all of his losses weren't enough to discourage him, 7 days of visits from friends like this who came with these preconceived opinions as to why Job was facing all these things would be enough to put anyone in the state of depression. And so Job says in verse 1, cursed is the day. Has reference to his birthday. Weeks of grief and pain now have taken their toll on Job, and he now questions God as to the purpose of his existence. Job thinks it would have been better if he had never been born. It would have been better if he had died in the womb. Job is not really expecting any answers to these questions. He's asking rhetorical questions, or as we would say, he's venting. Job is just venting here. And you know what? God allowed him to do that. God allowed him to vent. And before you give Job a rebuke, remember that pain, suffering, misunderstanding, and the improper input and opinions of others can affect your steadfastness and your faith. Be careful of what you listen to. When you are going through a difficult time in your life, when there are trials, when there are tragedies, when there are pain, and people come and they offer the reasons as to why you are suffering, please be careful when you listen to them. Because sometimes people mean well, but they say things that hurt. And sometimes people can get you in a more depressed state than you were before they came. And so it's all right to go to God, and it's all right to vent, but be careful who you allow into your life to give you advice and input during difficult times. When life brings changes, even God's children go back and forth in their emotions. And I want you to know that there is nothing wrong with that. Some people would say, oh, you just have a lack of faith. You know what? I don't think that's the case at all. I think Job maintained his faith, but God allowed him some room to express himself and to say, why, God? And to question things and display different emotions and moods. But the thing is that Job didn't give up. And his example should encourage us to be honest with ourselves about how we really feel and to be honest with God. You know, the thing that comes out about this is that Job is human. And so are we. So many times we paint the great stars, heroes of the Bible, as being something other than human. Oh, these were men and women of God, so much better than we. That's why the Bible allows us to see their weaknesses, so we can identify with them. And we can look at them and, you know, say, you know, they are no different than we are. And when they went through difficulties and they went through tragic things in their life, their faith was tested. And their emotions went back and forth. But they made it. And that gives us courage and that gives us strength. That gives us an example to follow. If they can make it and they are just like us, then we can make it too. Like Job, sometimes we openly complain and verbalize our feelings of sadness and misunderstanding, and that's okay. And when we do it, we might not even be talking directly to God, but he hears. And if he hears, then there is hope for us when change occurs. Life had been good for Job for a long period of time. God had blessed him. He had financial success. He had a wonderful family. Job knew where he had received the blessings. He said, the Lord gave. What he did not know was what was happening. And that's what makes his response so valuable to you and me. Listen, when change occurs, and it will, you might not know what's happening. There is something that is taking place in another world that is involving you. You might not know what is happening, but your response is what makes all the difference. Job is strong, then he's weak. You know, I find that in my life too. There are times when I can pray and I have all the faith in the world, and then something happens and I find out that my faith is weak. And I need somebody else to come and pray for me, to pray with me, because I believe that there is strength in numbers. And I believe that the body of Christ needs to be there for each other. When one is strong, praise God. But then when that person is weak, those that are strong need to uphold that weak one. And we all go from strength to weakness. There are times we vacillate. Job speaks confidently, and then he speaks questionably. In my own life, I see that to be true as well. There are sometimes I can speak very confident. This is what you need to do. This is what I need to do. But then there are other times when I begin to question, is that the right thing to do? And so every change and every response, Job is teaching us to prepare our hearts and pray. This is the key. This is the only thing that's required of us, really, to remain faithful when change occurs. Just to remain faithful when change occurs. Changes will happen. Changes will take place. This is a whole new year. We don't know what kind of changes will take place in the lives of our church members, our friends, or in our own lives. But my challenge to you is, if you are the one that is experiencing the change, just remain faithful. Don't get down on yourself because your feelings are all over the place. but remain faithful to the Lord, realizing that you can cast your care upon him. He can take it even with you when you vent, because he cares for you. My challenge to everybody else is we need to find those people where the change is taking place, and we need to be their strength. Can we do that? That's what the body of Christ is all about. Let's pray. Father, as we begin to look at the life of Job, we ask, Lord, that you would help us to realize that we are not so different than him. But Lord, he is our example as he remains faithful to you. Lord, help our response to be faithful to you. Lord, when we are weak, we pray that we would find our strength in others, and most importantly, in you. We pray, Lord, that you would help us through the questions of life. Lord, even now, prepare our hearts that we would remain faithful to you when change occurs. And Lord, give us eyes to see others. Lord, help us not just to have tunnel vision. Help us not just to be focused upon ourselves and our own needs and our pains, but Lord, to be able to see others who are hurting and to be able to feel their pain, that we might be the body of Christ, and that in the process we would bring glory to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Could we stand? Let's sing Press On.